task force, or I'm not sure what depression we're focused
on. Oh, hell, I don't look. Look, honey, I hate to use cliches, but some of my absolutely best allies and friends on this task force are Jewish. And if anybody's balls are so soft that if I talk about Meir Kahana and they take it to heart, that proves my point. My point is that many people may not approve of him, but they don't want me talking about it. See, and that's my point. There's too many silent, good people in the Jewish community that haven't spoken out, but can speak out against me when I speak out. See, if y'all had shut this shit up, Ted Koppel couldn't have done 28 minutes of Nightline on this issue. Tony Brown, the blacks, the whites, all over the media, Good Morning White America show, the Old Faye Today show, day after day after day, and ain't nobody said nothing. And if y'all are saying that they ain't picking you up, you better get on the case, because I want to tell you something, honey. Niggas ain't sucking like we used to. And we ain't going to be quiet. And if you want to be quiet while Meir Kahana and Irv Rubin call Jesse Jackson a black Nazi, I want to tell you something. Hymie Town is like Sambo's restaurant. And I'll tell you something else. Sambo's restaurants ain't got a single broken window, see? And Jaime is not a respectful word, it's not a sensitive word, and it's a derogatory word. But I want to tell you something, honey. Ain't a one of you in here that ain't sat in a room with a bunch of Jewish people and white people that call people niggers and you didn't say shit most often. Yeah.
This comparable word litigation task force is to help fight against certain forms of oppression, as we're using the term today. And I just don't think that if that's your goal, that that abusing people who you're hoping to help.
I'm not hoping to help anybody. Well, do you know how many? Wait, do you know how many of the cases against affirmative action were brought by Jewish people?
That's part of my point. That the fact that you're Jewish doesn't have anything to do with whether you're part of the.
It was brought against black people by Jewish. The Bakke case, Bakke was a Jew complaining about black people getting on a campus. Don't tell me you didn't know it. The case in Washington was also a Jewish complainant. The quotaphobia comes out of the Jewish community, not just out of the WASP community. Morris Abrams on the United States Civil Rights Commission is Jewish. Well, it's certainly not irrelevant, would you say? It was just an idea for people who may not get a job to do some work on the kind of area where there's going to be multi-million dollar damages, and they can do it for the Jewish community or the black community or consumers or white people or Hispanics or whomever. They don't have to do it with me. What are we, 28 minutes? Oh, okay. All right. But see, I don't own comparable worth. There's already been a lawsuit with $838 million in immediate raises and back pay to women. And if it is seen that Jewish people are being axed out, aced out, whatever, then obviously they might, they don't need me to bring a comparable worth lawsuit. I'm just suggesting that as an area where there's going to be big money recoveries and where people in law school can work and write papers or do work and go to a law firm and say, I am a specialist in comparable worth. It's as if you went to a law firm when the automobiles first came out and they were running over people, and you said, I am a specialist in automobile personal injury, and I have done the law on it, and I know how to do it. I'm just talking about a field. I don't need anybody. I'm dying. I probably won't live till July, so don't worry about anything I say. I'll be gone day after tomorrow. Okay, yeah.
Brought a lot up to people that maybe they haven't thought about before, and maybe they have. And it's a little bit difficult to be able to have a conversation when someone is really talking to an audience. So I want to focus a little differently. I want to, as a woman, ask what you see as any reason why I should vote for anybody for one who is in, who is going into a position which is basically dominated by males, which to me is totally male controlled, a male piece of pie, a world that I see as violent, destructive, militarily out of control. And I just, it's hard for me because I say, well, I don't really care and I don't want to vote for anyone. And then I hear certain people that are more progressive, more focusing on issues of concern to people, more focusing on the social services and that whole area, and I say, yeah, that's good. But then I look back again and I say, what's in it? You know? What's
well, let me say this. Anybody that has a serious question won't vote for him. He doesn't have to win. He is not out to win. He is out to make a point. And anyone that has serious reservations will not vote for him. They wouldn't anyway. But if they need an excuse, they got it. He's a male. He's got a penis. You don't vote for him. Cool. See, that's one of the differences between me and I might have screwed him up forever in this whole area of New York, which is tough shit because he ain't going to win. No how. I would rather him win saying what he's saying and get 2% of the vote than to say what has been said by black politicians through the last decade and get 6%, because he ain't gonna win. He is an ideologue. He is like Nixon and like Reagan, and a lot of people can't stand him, and I appreciate that. If I were a Jewish feminist, I'm sure I very well might feel differently about it, you see. So I'm not pleading his case. I'm clarifying my position on his circumstance. And I'm tired of being respectful of people who have been friends with our worst allies, I mean our worst enemies, for years and years, 1948 to 1983, figure it out. Have you ever heard a black person complain because people in the Knesset, Abba Eban, and a good percentage of all, did you ever go into 47th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue and look at the diamond industry and find me a nigger with a job in that block? I'm at 48th and Madison, I'm between Madison and 5th. One block back from me, there is a block. It's called the jewelry block. And there's people there that are orthodox, that are compassionate, that are humanistic. Find me a nigger. One, maybe two, maybe 10. Ain't no black folks in there. None that I have ever seen. And I've been at 8 East 48th Street since 1960, 50, whatever it was. See? So you see, we never complained about that. But given that reality, I ain't slithering on my belly. And I don't expect to be popular. I do not expect to be popular. And I don't even expect to be accepted, and I'm not here to win any kind of popularity contest. I am very clear that I will not be popular anywhere when I talk this way, but I'm gonna talk this way because I think it's time. Some people that didn't, how many of you did not know of the tight axis between Israel and South Africa? Because if you all knew it, then I don't know what you're so excited about. Because we are certainly not to Arafat what Israel is to South Africa, and what the American Jews are to South Africa. Crotch was talking about Jesse Jackson's Operation Push taking money from the Arabs, and lo and behold, he is not just taking money from the South Africans, but also doing business with them and having black folks eat the corn or whatever it is and sell the Cougarette. I mean, really, it's just unreasonable. And we have to do what the women did, and we just have to excuse the men. Y'all have to go. Sorry about that. We women did that 20 years ago. Y'all are too young to remember because you were children, practically. But I remember when we did not allow men to come to our meetings. They could come to a big thing like this where the school paid, but we didn't allow them to come. And there gets to be a time when there needs to be a divorce. And I suggest that this is the time. And I'm not selling Jesse Jackson to nobody. Because there's plenty of reasons. I had a bunch of feminists August 27th when I did some cable television interviews in Washington. And they said, we don't think we're going to be for Jesse Jackson because he's not for abortion. He's not strong enough. I said, fine. So if we get some power, y'all won't be calling me up in the middle of the night asking me, do I know a judge? See, Because, honey, I've serviced plenty of people that ain't got hardly no use for a lot of people that I care a lot about. I care a lot about Jesse Jackson, and I dare say y'all care a lot about Meyer Conner, because I ain't talking about nobody but the kinds of people that call him a black Nazi. But if he gets angry and says Jaime, which is like Sambo or like Rastus, and it ain't complimentary, why should it be? That's my question. I want someone to tell me why should he not be pissed off enough to say something a whole lot worse than Jaime in Jaime Town. And he lied about it, so naturally none of us ever lies. We don't lie to our dates and our husbands and our spouses and our kids and ourselves practically. So he lied, so he did two things. Call somebody an uncomplimentary name to put him down because he was mad. I hope he was mad. I really hope he was mad because he has been catching hell. I watched, and you might have, watched his press conference in Washington, D.C. when he declared he was going to run for president, and they were running through the room. This, I ain't never seen no Jewish person interrupt anybody declaring that they were going to be a president. And you've had anti-Semites from the word go. Nixon made the union leader called Kissinger a kike. I didn't hear no Jewish organizations running out picketing the Manchester Union. See? And you've got Nazis, and except for a very few people who make a profession of it, I ain't seen no Jewish organization cut. Okay, all right. All right, last question. Yes.
Why has justice been so unevenly distributed among black people and women?
Well, because the people who are usually niggerized or unfairly treated are people without power. And women, as long as they did not try to seek power, were not in great difficulty. They were treated sweetly, and they were powder puffed, and they were promised mink coats and given arpège. We had it very good. Women had it very good. But what happens is when you have a role set out for you and you depart from it, nurses were treated fine, but they aren't treated so fine in medical school. And secretaries are treated beautifully in law offices. Once a year they get a rose and a kiss and a fuck and a box of candy and God knows what. But when they get ready to go to law school, they're not always treated so well. So when you seek power, you very often upset the people whose power area you want to enter. Simple. And when you withdraw consent to oppression, like most rapists, they don't like to pull out, whether it's Grenada or the woman at the bar in Fall River, Massachusetts. So, okay, all right, y'all. Take care.